I want to tell you all that I was hired at the institution I work at because I am a theater person, and I had no prior knowledge of environmental health science or any other kind of science. But we have developed, and we didn't develop this, Augusto Boal of Brazil developed this technique, body of work, that has been used all over the world to work with social issues, and we were going to use it with scientific slash social issues. So that's the provenance of this idea. And call this citizens as scientists and scientists as citizens, because sometimes there's a bifurcation there where scientific people are withdrawing from that idea of active engagement and citizens don't know anything about science. So we're putting the two together in this incubator, which is artistic in a sense, but also infused with science. This is a roadmap of what we're going to look at, some of the rationales, a little bit about Theater of the Oppressed, using it as a frame for a toxin risk outreach that we have developed for use with fence line communities in the petrochemical belt of Texas and Louisiana, using it to support community research to action, working with some of the aspects of CBPR that are difficult for both ends of the spectrum to work with, and evaluating this process, which isn't an easy thing to do. And I'm not going to read all this to you. I just want to mention a couple of them. This simultaneously builds capacity on the part of the communities to work with scientific information in their advocacy, and with researchers to work with communities in a way that supports both the science and doing something actionable. And the other thing is, the idea of site-specific framing of issues. Each one of these projects is very site-specific. It's not a canned thing. The techniques are the same, but the issues and the way in which they have to be approached are very specific to the community we're working with. What is TO? Okay, this, as defined by Augusto, this is a game of dialogue. It's based on improvisation. And improvisation, of course, needs rules. So you have freedom and you have discipline working together. And this is basically all I'll ever tell the community about it. We don't really have a long discussion about what we're doing. We're working with their problem, and we're using theater to do it. These are some of the different aspects of TO. This was a diagram. I don't know who drew this, but I took this off the TO website. We use the trunk of the tree. We don't use the branches or the foliage that much. Image, games, image theater, and forum theater are our major tools. And some of the special characteristics of TO that make it good for this is it carries a bias toward action built right into it. After you go through one of the workshops and maybe do a community performance with the material that you put together, you want to do something about the issue. Everybody that participates wants to do something. It's not we're going to sit and talk again. We're going to try and take the information that we have, and we're going to come up with an actionable plan to address it. And this idea of a spect actor. When we perform these community forum presentations, the community is watching this. The people who are in the workshop are performing it. But this is an interactive thing. The people in the audience can become actors, so they're called spect actors, spectator slash actor. And when the spect actor enters the scene and replaces one of the characters to try and find a better way to address the situation, it changes them considerably. And they become biased toward action themselves. How do we situate this in an academic setting, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do? Many people that I've talked to about this don't quite get what I'm doing there, doing this. But anyway, we have our Community Environmental Forum Theater Talks, Risk, and Stress workshops, and that's situated in our NIEHS Centered Environmental Toxicology. We work on community-based or engaged participatory research projects which put the academics and the community people together in the same workshop setting. And they kind of take turns being one another in these situations. And it really is a good way to exchange values and ideas. And then this TO has been adapted by Baylor College of Medicine to do a CIPRIT project, which is a cancer-related project, and outreach in the Houston area to the Vietnamese, African American, and Latino communities in Southwest Houston. And it's going along real well right now. They have three troops, and they're doing a cervical cancer and colorectal cancer-focused outreach. And the last thing we do with it is participatory action research, which is mostly troubleshooting inside a project that's already up and running. Things aren't maybe as smooth or as satisfying as they could be. And we use these techniques to work with that. You can say a lot to people using these techniques that might be difficult to say verbally. The verbal part comes later. But this is a good story starter, so to speak. Okay, this is the Tox, Risk, and Community Stress curriculum, so to speak. And I'm not going to read once again this entire thing to you, but for the toxicology part, the concepts you see presented there are turned into images, embodied images, and people use these images to understand what the concepts mean. The risk part of it, we create what we call a community ethnography. And this has to do with a lot of community risk perception, exposure pathways, which the community can define, especially for the scientists who don't live there, and the community power dynamics, which nobody but them would know. And then the last part, the stressors and social determinants of health, we actually create scenes out of the images and the ethnography, and they become little plays, very little plays, 10-minute things, and they'll show how these ideas play out in lived reality. And here are some of them. This is a community body burden image we were putting together in Corpus Christi with Citizens for Environmental Justice. And this was a moving image where the lady in the middle got all these different exposures, and she was the community, and it showed the burden. And we performed this for the community, and then we talked about what that means. Differential vulnerability, because the kids in this one neighborhood, the Dora neighborhood that we were working with, were constantly having problems, respiratory problems, because of the emissions that they were living with. Right here is from Port Arthur, Texas, and this is the scenario, an image of your worst case scenario, which is an explosion, fire, or massive release, which they live with on a very, not daily basis, but quite often this happens there. This is also from Port Arthur. Here we have a family has just gotten a bad diagnosis. How does this affect the family? And they're showing the families crouching together and, you know, trying to come together and get each other's strength, but they're constantly being bombarded by this. Here are some other projects. De Madres and Madres was in Houston. The people that look like they're lurching and falling over are showing one of the things that is constantly on their mind in some of the neighborhoods near the refineries, which is train derailments, because they have trains carrying toxic stock chemicals into the refineries that go right through the neighborhoods and literally right next to the houses sometimes, and they're really worried about that. It happens every now and then, and also evacuation is a problem, because if there's a big release and there's a train stopped, you can't get out of the neighborhood. And at the bottom, we have a landlord telling a tenant why he cannot do lead abatement because it's going to hurt his bottom line. So, you know, and the tenant just throws his hands up because they're used to hearing this. And we're looking at community dynamics over on the right-hand side, two people pointing at each other because not everybody is an environmentalist in the community. Some people are more worried about work. And they see that you have to sacrifice your environmental health to have a job. We deal with that idea, which is very common. And here we have a playback using what we call a fluid image. It starts as an image, and then it starts to move around and talk. And it's part of the communication component of a grant that was in the community working with asthma triggers and lead exposure. And we're now taking the data we've gotten and playing it back to the community. This is done in Spanish, this particular one. Now we're going over to what we do with CBPR. I got 2 minutes, okay? These are the values of CBPR, okay? And these are the kinds of things we work with this technique. These are some of the research and engagement issues that constantly come up that become fodder for our scenarios. Here is an image of what one community thinks the rest of the community thinks about their community. And this is created by somebody who's saying they see us as whining, demanding, and clueless. Okay, so this is their image of how we're perceived. Here's an image from a project in Buffalo, New York. We have an epidemiologist who's trying to get, you know, engage the community. This is really true, too. This entire thing is true. And the community breaks it off because of the unequal power dynamic, which you really have, you know, you can't deny. It's always fairly unequal. Okay, and here we have the research dynamic, the limitations of community of expertise and what the community expects out of it. The data that this scientist came up with just doesn't address all these problems. And the community, of course, is a little bit crestfallen. They expected more out of it. And what did the scientist learn? How to be an empathetic witness, perhaps, and an effective ally, and still do good science. That's the gold standard. And here's the same situation from three different perspectives. Okay, we're looking at it from inside the community, and then a community practitioner who's in the community but doesn't live there, and then this guy on the side, and this isn't fair, I know this guy, he's not like that, but he's watching from way outside the social dynamic, he's the scientist. So you see, 3 degrees of separation. Here we're working with international global health, and we're looking at the north-south global divide in terms of medical aid being given to different countries, and I'm getting the hook here. Here we're is a game showing the development of trust, and here is some PAR, participatory action research, we did with the nurses at Seeley Hospital. Here's how they conceive of their job. Now, they could never say this to their supervisors, but we can do this in the workshop. And here are three frames for evaluating TO, science, art, and action. And this is very superficial with this time thing. And thanks, everybody, from the EJ community, from NGOs, from academia, and key folks. And I say Augusto Boal and Paulo Freire are, you know, absolutely paramount to this. Thank you very much.